Time for another Stang Gang podcast with Rich Renner, the head football coach at Midwestern State, as the Mustangs get ready to open up the conference campaign. And they'll do so this weekend at home against Eastern New Mexico. And that'll all be part of Family Weekend here on the Midwestern State campus. And that'll include all kinds of events going on here that start actually Friday and run through Saturday. So it should be a fun environment when we get to Memorial Stadium Saturday night.
Most definitely. Obviously, a fun environment. Football game to always close the festivities off with. And exciting time for the Mustangs as well as Midwestern State and Memorial Stadium. So great facility to play in. Great atmosphere, obviously, for the crowd and for our players. And our players obviously get jacked and excited to play there.
You think your players will have a lot of family members here?
Most definitely. Most definitely. We'll have a lot of family members there. I know a lot of kids, especially from the Texas area, have fans coming, and or not fans, but family members coming to support them and be there for them. And it's supposed to be a beautiful night for football.
It's always a beautiful night for football, Coach.
That's true.
It's always a beautiful night for football. You've had an off week here. What's been the kind of the focus since you last played a game?
Well, obviously the focus has been back to the basics, like we talked about last, podcast, and getting back to the basics of, the fundamentals of football and obviously special teams, correcting that and making sure that we're on point with that, as well as tackling on defense and our responsibilities, offensively, making sure that, that we're catching the ball and not dropping it and ball securities and all that fun stuff. And then getting ready for the triple option, with the, Coach Kelly does a great job with and his staff with the triple option that we faced, for numerous years that I've been in this conference, and the 25 plus years, seeing the triple option is always been a challenge, for anybody that's going up against it. And so they always create, mismatches and issues that you've got to make sure that you're on point with and deal with. And there's going to be adjustments. It's like a chess match. They're going to make adjustments. We got to make an adjustment. They're going to make an adjustment. We got to make an adjustment. And so you've got to know what you're doing inside and out. You've got to be collectively together as a staff, defensively, so that, when you see it, boom, what the adjustment is, and we're all on the same page.
The guys that play for you don't remember this, but there was a time when almost every week you would have been getting ready for the triple option.
That's true. You're exactly right. And I'm glad we don't have to worry about it every week. Even though it'd probably be easier because, once you've seen it once,
right,
and seen it twice, then it's easy teaching. But you're right.
Now it's almost kind of a gimmick offense, but used to be in Texas, everybody ran the Houston Veer.
That's exactly
right. Or the wishbone, one or the other. What makes it so tough?
Well, I think it's just because it makes you one-on-one with one of their players. And if your player misses a tackle or your one player doesn't do his assignment because he tries to do somebody else's assignment, then you see the exposure and obviously the yards gained. And so everybody has to do their part, whether it's not just a gap-controlled defense that you have to have an assignment controlled defense. And so you've got to have somebody on the dive. You got to have somebody on the quarterback and somebody on the pitch.
I remember talking, I was doing Plano East games back 100 years ago, and I was talking to Scott Phillips, who ran the Veer. And I would talk about it as a ball possession offense. And he was like Mickey Mantle, because he told me he's trying to score a touchdown on every play. He's not trying to run the clock. Every play is designed to get to the end zone. So it is an interesting offense, and you can have a lot of explosive plays out of the Veer. Eastern New Mexico, certainly they dominate time of possession most of the time, but it's not necessarily just 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
No, it's not. They do a great job mixing it up. They do a great job of, incorporating the modern offense within the triple option, whether it's still out of the gun pistol or whether it's out of the gun bone, as we would call it, out of the gun, and they're still, moving pieces, and they're trying to get you with eye candy, which we say is with the motions and shifts and trades, and then they'll also play action and boot out and throw the football to keep you honest. And sometimes they'll do that on first down just to catch you sleeping a little bit, thinking run, and then boom, hit you with a deep ball.
We're still really early in the season, but I was just kind of looking at some of where Midwestern State ranks nationally in different statistical categories, and again, you're just two games in, but you're ninth in the nation in passing offense, throwing for over 330 yards a game.
Yes, we are. We just got to get the ball in the end zone a little bit more. I think that's the scoring offense is where you want to be highly ranked at, and I think that's where we've got to get better at.
And what would lead to that?
Well, I just think just finishing, executing down in the red zone and putting the ball in the end zone. I think, we have in the last 2 weeks, obviously, moved the ball, which has been a positive. Don't get me wrong. We always look at the positives. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the scoreboard is what's going to dictate it. So we have to defensively hold them 1 point less than what the other team scores, but we also have to score one more point than we give up. So with that being said, I think that's something that we have to, do a better job at offensively is number one, scoring more points. And I think we would have scored more points the first game, should have scored more points the second game. If we don't have those self-inflicted, not penalties, but plays where we fumbled the pitch in the Western Colorado game right before going in at halftime, that we were on the 2 yard line going in, and then obviously at the Missouri Southern game, we fumble on the 3 yard line, where we're going in to score there. And I think that you add 14 more points to the score, not that we win the game, but it could have changed the outcome possibly of the game.
Yeah, it changes the complexion of the game. You never know how the dominoes are going to fall after that. We've talked a lot about Eastern New Mexico's offense. What about their defense should we be concerned about?
Well, their defense is getting better and better each week, okay? They played three games. Obviously, they've gotten better each game. I think the first game they struggled a little bit against New Mexico Highlands, gave up a lot of rushing yards. Same thing in the second game against Mesa, a little bit better. Obviously, didn't give us as many points, but much better, improved defensively. They're a 3-3 stack team. They're going to play cover three. They're going to play cloud cover two. They're going to mix the coverages up, and they're going to mix the blitzes up. And so, obviously, when you've got six guys in the box and you don't know where those six guys are coming or going, that creates a little bit of problems for an offensive line that's, that's struggling as we speak, in a sense of giving up as many sacks, six sacks that we gave up, or seven sacks we gave up against Western Colorado. And so, those negative plays we've got to eliminate, obviously. And then, obviously, we've got to be able to run the football, because then that not only opens up the pass and the complementary of each other. The pass opens up the run opens up the pass. And so you got to be able to do that to keep a defense that loves to pin their ears back and come after you, off balance.
And that would also help you out in the red zone, right?
Most definitely.
How do you improve the running game?
Well, I think the big thing in improving the running game is just, again, going back to the fundamentals and knowing our assignments and who they're blocking, and then getting some push and movement and being able to do things in the run game that our kids are capable of doing. If we're not big and physical up front in a sense of our size and our strength, then we can't run duo and we can't run, double and push and try to blow guys off the ball. We've got to have misdirection. We've got to be able to, find that seam or gap that's going to open up, or that area that maybe Eastern, doesn't fit correctly by getting that plus one to the right side or the left side based upon how they line up to the formations. And so, not that you're doing anything trickery, but you've got to be a little creative in creating those extra gaps for the run game to open up.
In terms of your health, how healthy are you going into the conference campaign?
Well, that's a great question. I think we're for the most part, we're pretty healthy. Gary Deem and his staff have done a great job of keeping us healthy to this point. What is being hit by everybody across the country, or at least I think in Texas here, is sickness. Where you have the flu, or you have COVID, or you have strep throat. And I think that's what we battled last week. And obviously the first part of this week. And so, losing guys to just illness, I think, is more of a concern right now than more so than injury itself. We did lose one gentleman that is out for the year from an ankle injury that he suffered in the Western Colorado game. And we lost another guy for a couple weeks that had surgery on his wrist, but he'll be back in about 5 weeks. So I feel like that we've been very lucky in that area of injury per se, but we still obviously have got to weather the illness part of that. And I think that's the one thing that people don't really talk about.
looking at how things have gone this season, your leading receiver, not surprisingly, is DeMonte Green. He's already got 17 catches for 241 yards, but he was targeted more than a dozen times. Should we expect that again this week?
Well, I think DeMonte Green is a special player. You know, he's a special player not only in this conference but at this level. And you've got to get he's got to touch the ball. And he can't do it all by himself. He's got to have a supporting cast, and that's obviously what we've got to do is we've got to get other guys to step up and help him out. And I think Jamarian Carroll had a good game against Western Colorado, and we expect him to have, you know, to show up and have a big game again week in and week out. And we've got Malachi, and we've got Mr. Lott, and we've got, you know, Dunphy, and we've got Peacock. I mean, we've got enough receivers that there is shouldn't be a lack of production at that position in a sense of that it has to all go to DeMonte Green. But DeMonte Green does special things with the ball. And so when you've got a guy that is dynamic like he is, that you want to get the ball in his hands.
And obviously the more teams pay attention to him, the more these other guys are going to become a factor.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And they are, you know what I mean, in a sense. But you look at them and they're all young, you know what I mean? They're still, you know, young players, you know, lots of true freshmen. You've got Peacock's a redshirt freshman. You've got Dunphy's a redshirt, you know what I mean? I mean, you've got guys that are still young, and you've even got DeMonte Green's a redshirt sophomore, you know what I mean? So, yep. You know, they're still young players that, you know, that we have. Malachi Matthews is the only junior, but he's a third-year guy that would be the same as DeMonte Green if he would have redshirted, and meaning redshirted instead of playing junior college football. So my point in saying that is that, you know, we're still growing and learning the offense. We're still, you know, haven't tapped into our potential, you know, of where we can be in this offense. And that's why I'm excited to see the future, you know what I mean, as we continue to get better and better and kids work really hard in practice.
Have you seen improvement in the team from the time you last played going into this game?
Well, most definitely. It'll be hard to – well, I did. From the first game to the second game, huge improvement other than special teams. I felt like that, you know, we were a little probably timid in special teams. And so that's something that we had to work on these last 2 weeks and get that corrected, or try to get it corrected, I should say. And we'll see Saturday night how that turns out. But I felt like we got better in the Western Colorado game as the game went on. I felt like our kids continued to compete and work hard and did a great job, you know, bouncing back after 21-0 deficit, you know, in the first quarter. And then obviously 21-0 at halftime. And then if we don't give up those two big plays on defense, you know, it could have been a closer game than what it showed. And I know we talked about it on the last podcast, but I was really pleased with, you know, just how our kids didn't quit. They kept fighting. They kept battling. They didn't lay down. They didn't give up. They didn't, you know, they didn't stay intimidated by Western Colorado. And I think Western Colorado, like I told you, is a playoff team and is a good team. Now, how far are they going to go in the playoffs? You know, only God knows that answer. But I just know that they are well coached and they are talented and they've got a quarterback that does, you know, that is very a great manager of the game of at his position where he can run it and throw it when needed. And I thought they did a really good job of doing that, you know, in the game and controlling the possession and the tempo and what have you, and not just, you know, allowing us to get, you know, a lot of opportunities for our offense to go down and score. And so that's where we've got to do a better job defensively is getting off the field on third down, especially against a triple option. Obviously a better job in the run game, which I felt like we improved from the first week to the second week simply because of look at the stats, give up almost 300 yards rushing against Missouri Southern, and now we give up 122 against Western Colorado, which – is a really good running team as well, especially with the quarterback. And now you're playing a team that's leading probably the conference like they always do in rushing. And so, you know, you've got to be able to tackle and be physical at the point of attack and be able to tackle and not allow first downs in the run game. Make Eastern be one-dimensional. Make them have to throw the ball on third and long and get them where they are uncomfortable. Get them into the point where they don't want to be, which is long yardage situations.
I mean, it's always nice to jump out to a lead, but it's especially important against these guys, isn't it?
Most definitely, because, you know, they're not built to come back, you know, after being down three touchdowns. And so that's kind of what Angelo kind of bounced out in front of them a little bit and then kind of hung on there at the end, and hopefully we can do the same.
Angelo beat them last week 31-20. As you watched that game, it had to bring back memories of your trip to Portales last year, because they were stuck in rain delays and they weren't done until well after midnight.
Most definitely, you know, and that's hard. That's hard on the coaching staff. That's hard on the players, because, you know, you got to think about what people don't think about, in my opinion, is those kids get hungry. You know, especially just sitting there in the locker room, is, you know, you've got to warm them up again. You've got to get their mind right. It's getting later. They're tired. But they're also hungry, because they've eaten 4 hours before the game started. And now you're getting close to midnight, and those kids are used to eating again around 10 o'clock. And you got to prepare for that stuff. And so it's hard, you know, when you do have those lightning delays. And I get it. You've got to protect the kids and make sure that they're safe, and the coaches and the players and the referees. But at the end of the day, it definitely makes it for a long night.
Just taking a look at what else happened around the conference, West Texas A&M opened up conference play as well. They beat Western New Mexico 58-27. And Western Oregon was playing outside the conference, played Cal Poly, lost 56-7. Northwest Missouri State beat Kingsville last week 49-20. Stephen F. Austin handled Sol Ross rather easily. Any surprises in the conference so far?
You know, not really. I just think that, you know, obviously Angelo and Central Washington are probably the dominant figures. I know Central Washington lost to Montana the week prior to, and we were kind of all on bye weeks. I think Permian Basin's a good football team as well, well coached. And, you know, Coach McCullough does a great job with his, you know, his staff and with their team and what have you. They're doing a great job offensively and defensively. I know that there has been some injuries at the quarterback position, both Angelo and Permian Basin, in the last week or so. And so that has kind of changed their probably game plan a little bit, and kind of what they can do and not do. And but those coaches have done a great job adjusting and weathering the storm through that. And that's kind of a sign of a great coaching staff and a great program too, when, you know, guys get hurt, especially your key player at quarterback, and you're still able to find ways to win the ball game. And so that's where we've got to get to, is being able to, number one, win, and being able to win through those adversity situations as well.
A couple of interesting games in the conference this week: Permian Basin at Kingsville, West Texas is at Central Washington. Any thought on those games?
You know, I think, you know, still yet to be seen with Kingsville on how good or not good they are. I mean, obviously having to go all the way up to Missouri and play. Northwest Missouri is a very good football team, very, you know, good, you know, good drive up there from Kingsville, whether they drove or they flew. But, you know, anytime you make that long distance trek, it's going to be a challenge. And with a new coaching staff, with Coach Parr and his staff, I know they got the same defensive coordinator, the new offense coordinator, new head coach. So there is a little bit of adjustments there. But nevertheless, you know, that's going to be an interesting matchup between Kingsville and Permian Basin. Also, too, Central Washington, WT. I know that WT is going to spread them out and try to score a lot of points. But, you know, Central Washington does a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage. They do a great job of controlling the time of possession. It's almost like Eastern. You know, they're running some type, a different form of option. It's not the triple option, but it's a different form of option, and they want to control the clock, and they want to control the time possession, and they do a great job up there of you know, kind of wearing you out a little bit up there, because it is a long flight up there, and you have to drive all the way from Seattle, and, you know, not that it's impossible, but it's definitely some hurdles you have to overcome on top of everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a conference full of challenging road trips. Fortunately, we're at home this week. Family weekend at Memorial Stadium. That's a 6 o'clock kickoff. In the conference opener, you're 0-0 going into this game, Coach.
Yes, sir. And I want to say thanks, Pete, for all that you do. We're proud of you and thankful for you being here, but also go Mustangs.
That's Rich Renner, the head football coach at Midwestern State. Thanks for listening to the Stayin' Gang podcast. Tell your friends. Bring two of your friends to Memorial Stadium Saturday night. I'm Pete Stein saying so long.